going here. So if you want, I just, it's, you know, Coins Plus or True Wealth from Coins Plus, and that's that. So this Millie Weaver, she's a reporter, and she came out with information that was discussing the fact that she had access. Well, she had a person that was going to appear on air. They showed some pre-recordings of people and with information. Some were going to be kind of shadow interviews for security. And they were basically stating that all this stuff that has been happening with the Trump collusion, impeachment, all these things, this screaming and yelling essentially from the left is based on them doing the same thing. I've talked about it. In other words, it's called, well, it's projection, and it's a really terrible tactic of deception and dishonesty against the, quote, enemy, whoever the enemy may be, and depending on the agenda of who's doing it. But what it is it's accusing falsely your opponent or a person who may be the one who might be able to convict you, like a boss, where, say, a boss is where, say, you're working for a company and you're a supervisor or whatever, and you know someone's stealing, and you're going to go to your supervisor and lay them out, and then they basically beat you to the punch, and they go say that you're doing this, doing what you're going to accuse them of. It's a crazy tactic, but it's what the left is doing to Trump. So Millie Weaver was coming out with a special report showing that all these leaders that are attacking Trump, Schiff and Biden and Hillary and all the, through the Obama administration, if you remember, James Clapper was the head of the CIA and he was involved with the NSA. And when they said last November that he was under criminal investigation, he had just found out and he was on CNN and he looked terrified, and he stumbled and bumbled and babbled, and he couldn't say anything, and he'd start saying things and he would stop because he knew they were lies, and he had already testified before Congress and lied, and his basic behavior was an obvious admission of guilt. Where am I going with this? The story is that all these people on the left have had access, still have unbridled open book backdoor access to all of the intel gathered by RNSA, that's our National Security Administration, created by none other than George Bush under the, you know, Patriot Act. And this beast has become so monstrous. And if you remember Snowden, who was the one who came out and said, look, they're getting everything on everybody. They're gathering it. They're accumulating it. They're misusing it. They're brokering it. They're giving it to our enemies, foreign and domestic. And then we had Julian Assange, who was getting, whistleblower information, a lot of documents. He's WikiLeaks. And he was coming out with a lot of really truthful, deep information along the same line. So then they go after Julian Assange and they accuse him of rape and they press charges on him from Sweden for rape. And then Snowden, you know, they charge him with all this crazy stuff. So he's hiding in Russia or being protected. And then Julian Assange is in Ecuador or something. And, you know, and this is what our government does. And so Millie Weaver was coming out with this story. And so all of a sudden she gets arrested at her home with her children for, they said they had a grand jury indictment and they're hardballing her and they won't tell her. And finally she's like, what is it? What is it? And they said burglary. It's like burglary. But it was burglary and, top secret information. It was the weirdest combination of stuff. And it was like, they, you know, what the story is, there's no bond on her. She, you know, and this is a journalistic situation. And as the information I was gathering was showing is, you know, when a CNN reporter was arrested at one of these riots, you know, the media and Google just blew up. This gal gets arrested and she's on the right, and it's absolutely silent. So you might want to look into that a little bit. I don't know what you do for a person like that. There's power in numbers, but these kinds of things are very concerning. Of course, this whole COVID-19 thing I've been absolutely baffled about, and if you've listened to the show, I'm convinced it's a farce on a far greater level than I would have originally expected. I found some journal articles today that were talking about the dangers of exaggerating the COVID-19 numbers, and I'm going to try to pop into that, and we'll start the show there. My computer, of course, I came in hustling here because we're busy as a one-armed paper hanger here. And, of course, my computer, smart there. It had to do it auto-restarted itself, updating, whatever. And so I sat here and waited for that, which was a ball. And so there, I'm going to pull this stuff back up. And here we go. Okay, so I've got, to start the show, we've got this recent medical publication. You go to NCBI, which means something, I don't know. That's where you get medical published journal articles. And just so you know, medical journal articles, the whole point is they're statistically sound, they're peer-reviewed, they use scientific hypothesis, they use theories until they have evidence, and they have a sample population that's gathered properly where they determine all that statistically beforehand, and everything is done according to sound statistical purposes to get into a medical journal, hypothetically, okay? We won't spend a lot of time on it. There's many exceptions, and what those exceptions are, people don't realize when the FDA approves a drug, the drug company does all the research and provides it. They're supposed to have certain standards of protocol that, are non-negotiable, that are absolutely firm and foundational, that and the principles that never change, and that's what it's supposed to be. But the truth is, a lot of these companies, when they're doing statistical research on medication, they don't fully report things clearly. A lot of times they're going to find out about other underlying side effects that weren't calculated for in the original variables, and they'll choose sometimes to overlook them. The other thing they do now, they have you so conditioned on drugs that they can run off a slew of side effects. First of all, they're advertising medication directly to the public. If you think of the logic of that, are you an expert on medicine? No. Is a doctor? He should be, but he gets a lot of his information anymore these days from pharmaceutical reps, and they're not able to keep up with everything. And so now they've got pharmacists trained. The pharmacists are supposed to look out for the doctors, but I know from firsthand experience and friends, that's gotten to be excessive, where the pharmacists are convinced that they're smarter than the doctor, and I'm not saying all of them, but you always hear about the extremes, that's the story. And a lot of them think they're smarter and they'll make mistakes for the doctor. And it's just kind of a weird chain of events. Doctors have lost, their autonomy. They spend huge amounts of their days filling out paperwork. Being a doctor is not what it used to be. It's an absolute legal mess where they're trying to cover their tail constantly. And so, anyway, the whole system's getting kind of broken. So that was a tangent, but it was discussing how the medical journal process is supposed to work, and there are loopholes when you get to, especially, as Solomon said, follow the money. Money is the answer to everything. So you always look at where's the money. Well, in a journal article like this, there's no financial benefactors in the writers or studiers of this thing, which means there's college students, PhDs, they wanted to know. So the head of the name of the journal article, and I'm looking for the date here, which I'll find here in a minute, is April 9th, 2020. And it basically, this is the first one. There's some newer ones after this. It just says, coronavirus disease 2019, the harms of exaggerated information and non-evidence-based measures, okay? I'm not going to go read the whole thing, but I'm going to read you the highlights, okay? It goes on and it says, the evolving coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. And by the way, like a doctor told me, he goes, the fact that it's called 19 means there were 18 before it. And there's a lot more that goes into this stuff. It's just, just to put my preface out there, I'm not a doctor. I'm just giving you information that I believe I've gathered from sound sources only, verifiable, and that is that this is nothing more than the flu that they've overblown. Of course, there was an article recently from like Forbes or Wall Street or whatever that said, oh, there is some good news about coronavirus. It has completely eliminated the flu this year. Like what? I think it's pretty obvious what that means. It is the flu, and they've doctored the numbers so bad. And then this will talk a little bit briefly just to get your mind in the right box about how phony this thing is. A lot of it's about conformity. They want you to miserate or commiserate, live in misery. They're going to punish the whole country. They're going to try to hurt and destroy everything in order to get Trump out. CNN poll comes out today, all of a sudden showing Biden down 10. They had him up 7, now he's down 10. What is that? Is that true? No, it's all propaganda. What they're doing, it's a lot harder to hold a high position, okay, than it is to dig out of a hole for a number of reasons. One, people love to root for the underdog. Number two, when their team's down, especially in politics, people give money. They want it to get it going. Number three, if they start him down in the hole now and they just artificially, falsify the polls as we near the election, they can just tick it up, tick it up, tick it up, tick it up. And you'll just be like, oh, look at that. He's climbing. But come on, man, like rooting for your favorite racehorse or something. It's a human psychology. People like to be with the underdog. They don't like the 1% underdog, but when it's, 42 to 58 or whatever it is, they like to fight for the 42. The way the election's going to go is probably going to be 59 to 58% because there's going to be so many false ballots out there. The left wants to ship ballots to every person who's ever been registered to vote anywhere ever, okay? Do you think that's a good, sound respect for our democratic system? It is, folks, these are things that are just, I don't know, can we go, I'm sure we can get worse, but how much further can we take this? This stuff's all rooted in socialistic arrogance. We had FDR really take us to the cleaners. Woodrow Wilson was bad. Socialism became this huge popular belief system back around the turn of the century. We worked our way up. Like I said, Woodrow Wilson was pretty lefty. But, compared to now, he was pretty conservative. Now we've got full-blown radical communists that are proud of their position and not ashamed. And, I pray to the Lord that does not hold true come election time or we are – it's just ugly stuff, right? So FDR kept trying to ram through all this socialist activity. He tried to push through the New Deal. Okay, now we got the Green New Deal, right? Well, his first New Deal was the 10 planks of communism, period, straightforward. And then it was shot down by the Supreme Court. Then he had another one and another one and another one. And then he kept altering them, turning them, changing them. And then we had his threat of an executive order to increase the Supreme Court from 9 to 15, because apparently the Constitution doesn't specifically specify, although the Federalist Papers do, and he was going to stack the court with 6 more people, and the court basically caved in, as we saw him do recently on some of the rulings against Trump. They want to be politically correct. They're, on gender and things like this. They're just kind of going down that road. So FDR really got this thing in full swing, increased the size of our government over 1,000-fold, really got things going down that train. And then as we move forward, we had a one point where the income tax high bracket was 96% for decades. Can you imagine? Those evil 1%ers, where'd that come from? That was all from good old FDR. And then we've gone through measure after measure as we've headed up. We have politicians that are career politicians, and they're not playing by the rules. They're not thinking the way that the people think. That's the problem, is these polls don't align properly, so the media has to pump out fake news, and they get locked in there, and it's about money and power, and they become exorbitantly wealthy and incredibly powerful, and that's all they care about, and they're using you, the people, as their stepping stone. Well, you know, when you've got AOC, we should have known when they came out with the squad, you know, the four Muslim women that were all part of the new trend of the Democratic Party, that we had some nasty stuff coming, because what do Muslims do? They, you know, bomb, steal, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. By the way, I think it's important to understand, when you see Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these things out there, destroying, and they say that they're fighting for a better world, that is not the spirit of God at all. That's not the spirit of love. That's not the spirit of goodness, okay? Be angry, but do not sin, the Bible says, right? That's sin. Well, maybe they don't care about the Bible. I think that's probably the case. But the whole thing is, there's methods. Now, over time, you've got like the Martin Luther King movement, you know, and I mean, Martin Luther King has been misquoted and mistreated in history. That guy was phenomenally incredible. There was nasty, terrible, horrible racism at the time. Then you get like the riots of Selma, 1963, when they just absolutely slaughtered the blacks. They called it, I think, Black Sunday or some terrible day. It was just horrendous. It was horrible. And, you know, it was so bad when, you know, blacks would go sit somewhere and the whites would beat them up and throw them out because they weren't in the colored area, and trying to make them a subspecies and all that. That stuff is terrible. It's wrong and it's horrible. I understand their anger and frustration against the whites, but the whites that do all that are a percentage. And to alienate the entire white race and then demand special rights is really not, doesn't seem to appeal to me. My wife and I have watched movies lately. There's been a few. You know, they're not coming out with anything decent as part of the Trump punishment COVID era. And so you watch a lot of these movies that are called indies, and you can tell they're indies. That means independents, where they just don't have a huge budget. It's just people, you know, on a scene. They'll use like an old building or something, and you can just tell what they're doing. But so we've watched some of these on, you know, some of the black stuff, and some of the miss, you know, there's a movie called The Butler, which is a story of a black butler who worked in the White House from, like, I don't know, say 1953 until 2000 and whatever. Really a neat story. And his son was involved at the time in all these civil rights marches, and his son was, you know, fairly significant, and this butler was trying to hide it from the White House, and it goes through each administration and how things change, and of course the book's written from his perspective. But it is interesting to see, and it's sad to see, and, you know, all those things I understand. I can completely relate. I have 100% empathy and sympathy. But I just think there's another way to unite. I think if you really, you know, I understand the wounds and the bitterness and all that, and I've said enough about that. I'll just say there's other ways to unite. Destroying, you know, the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. The devil cannot create. Only humans can create. That is what makes us unique in his image. That is what makes us like him, is that we can create. And the fact that we can create in our mind, that we can have a cognitive thought, an imaginative thought, we have to create something in our mind before we can create something physically, makes us absolutely unique among all of his creation, you know? And so we have to be able to create in our minds solutions to get around this stuff. The devil cannot. The devil can't create. He can only destroy what man or God creates. We create with what God gave us. God creates from thin air, if you will, much like the Federal Reserve, only better. Just joking. But Anyway, so I think it's, anyway, when you're watching this stuff, I'm sure it's, if you're aware of the fact that it's just, it's senseless. There's nothing good will ever come out of this craziness. The rioting that took place in Selma in 1963 was necessary. Many lives have been taken. The rioting over George Floyd, not necessary. Everyone agrees that was a heinous situation, a terrible crime, and that needed to be dealt with. I agree the police chief didn't move quick enough, etc. But to burn down the whole nation over it, a bit much, I think we might go. So, anyway, so back, you know, and then we get to this point where they're trying to reenact all these civil rights things now and act like, you know, and they want to bring this horrible pandemic upon us. And so it's all this socialist misinformation and propaganda. So these journal articles that I found, you know, one, the number one category, they say evolving coronavirus disease of 2019, COVID-19 pandemic is certainly cause for concern. They have to say that, of course. We all do, because yeah, everyone's like, every death's dangerous, you know. And they say, proper communication and optimal decision-making are an ongoing challenge as data evolves. The challenge is compounded, however, by exaggerated information. This can lead to inappropriate actions. It is important to differentiate promptly the true epidemic from an epidemic of false claims and potentially harmful actions. And the point here being, this was written in early April. Now we have, and by then, they were already coming out with numbers that didn't make sense. So they have, you know, the first category is fake news and withdrawn papers. And they go through and they document, in general, how the fake news has basically how supposed medical experts had created fake papers, fake, you know, like studies, but not real. Fake papers giving numbers that just didn't jive. You know, in other words, saying this many people are going to be infected by this time. There's going to be so many deaths. And these are experts. And Fauci is one of them. Okay. And so basically, and I'm just doing an overview for you here, but they have, you know, the specific dates and times and places. CNN, fake news. Then, you know, number two. They've got the category that they study and agree has been blown out of proportion. They call it exaggerated pandemic experts. They say, you know, an early speculation that 40 to 70% of the global population will be infected went viral. And then they go early estimates. They go through it all of how many people get infected by each infected person have varied widely. And they go through that, you know, and that's the whole thing right now. When you see they're saying, oh, the cases are exploding in America. We do more testing than anywhere. Did you know for every person they test, they estimate 15 to 20, everyone who tests positive, they estimate 15 to 20 more cases. Okay. First of all, the cases don't matter. It's the flu. Okay. I honestly know people who've had it multiples and tested positive and didn't even get sick hardly at all. Okay. So the median age of death for coronavirus is 85 plus. The median age for death in America. Now remember, there's an average and a median. The median is where the cluster is. You know, the median age of death in America is like in the 63 to 65 year old range. The, you know, and then you can get up, you know, the average age is different. But a lot of people, you know, die younger, and because it goes from zero to a number, the zero affects the median versus the average. And I won't get into all that too much. But here's my point. If the median age of death from coronavirus is 85 years old and the median age of death from life is 60-something, well, gee, you want to get coronavirus. You could live another 20 years. You can live 20 years more than anybody else. And I've even seen the charts, the chi-squared curves, because the chart of mortality, if you know what, everyone knows what a bell curve looks like. People don't, you know, the mortality rate is not registered on a bell curve. That would mean, you know, say a bell curve went from 0 to 100, and then the middle would be at 50, right? And the high point would be 50, that most people died at 50. That's not the case. They use what's called a chi-squared curve, which is it goes up, it accelerates, and then it drops rapidly. And the death, age of death, you know, and the high points are up in the 70s and all that. You do a chi-squared curve on the supposed deaths from COVID, and lo and behold, it's way off to the right. In other words, again, like I said, the mortality rate is much, much older. So I don't know if I can explain this clear enough, but it's silly. It's like saying it's the kind of curve you'd want to use if you were selling a nutritional product and said, look, the people who are taking this superfoods are living 18 years older on average, and their median age of death is, you know, 20 years more than the average American. And it's just, but this is the stuff they hide from you, folks. They're hiding it because it's not because, well, it's because it's a lie. That's what it is. And they're not going to let it go. Have you seen them ever tell the truth? I mean, no matter what information comes out on all this rubbish that you're getting pumped by the socialists, do they ever back down and admit fault? Nope. They just keep spinning and turning and turning and spinning all the time. And they say, you know, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which is a major root to all this. You know, Hillary Clinton did her PhD thesis on him. And one of his main things is your advantage to your enemy isn't necessarily what you have, but what they think you have. And then it goes into detail about how a person's imagination can come up with far more scenarios and fears than you can ever produce yourself. So the bottom line of this is fear of the unknown. I've seen people that will tell me 10 reasons why they know this is fake as they speak to me from behind their mask. You go out boating yesterday on Coeur d'Alene Lake. I mean, folks, you see boats in the middle of the lake with five people on them, and they're all wearing masks. I mean, you're like, if you even understood, you know, light is the best disinfectant. When they're like, oh, I don't know if you can go outside, that Fauci is crazy radical. When he was being interviewed by Congress or interrogated and by Jim Jordan, Jim Jordan was asking him, what about this? What about that? Oh, no, you know. Fauci's come out and said, oh, we can't resume baseball. We can't resume football. And all these huge organizations are terrified of lawsuits, so they overreact. So he's asking him all this, and Fauci has absolutely shut down and destroyed America. He's an unelected official. He's a moron. I'm sorry, but he's a fool. You look at his history, the guy's a crazy cuckoo bird who's been in the somehow at the root of all this corruption and collusion to do with vaccines and all this kind of stuff, and he's running our country. I think Trump accidentally got him in there, and then they found Trump's weak point. What do I mean by that? Trump has always operated offensively, okay? That's what makes Trump Trump. In this case, they get these people in his office telling him all this stuff. They're the experts. By the time Trump figures out he's been bamboozled, he's on the defense. And Trump doesn't know how to fight from a hole, from what I've seen. You know, I grew up doing all kinds of boxing and martial arts, and you know, you'll see good fighters just get knocked down, or if you watch UFC, which women probably think is horribly violent and a terrible sport. Sorry. I love it. Just remember, when those guys are out there, you don't have to feel sorry for them. They've chosen to be there, and they love it. So you'll see a guy that you're like, it's over. That guy's done. There's no way. And I just saw a fight here recently, and I was like, oh, the ref has got to stop this thing. Well, you know what? 30 seconds later, you know, the fight turns around, and this guy just takes the other guy to school and knocks him out. Okay? That is a skill. Anyone It's like they say, it's back in the day when I was in psychology, I always laughed at a statistic they had in the psychology book that was that said that 85% of men thought they could take 85% of men. Well, obviously that's not the case. That's called male ego. But they used to always say, like when I boxed and stuff, there's a lot of guys that think they're tough until they get hit. And when people get hit hard once, it hurts real bad. And if you're not ready for it, it will just, that's it. And I think that's what I'm saying is I'm a little bit afraid of what's going on with Trump. Trump's always been in the war of words, the war of money, the war of power, the war of attorneys. They've come at him from every angle to hamstring him and clip him. During the election, they tried to shut him down every way they could, and they couldn't. But from the White House, they've had people, spies all over. They've had people planted. Who knows what else they've done to him with bugs and, you know, sabotage. And I mean, it is just as cruel gets. It's horrendously evil, you know. And they're doing a lot of this to protect themselves from him coming out with information. So where I'm going on this thing is they get Fauci in there and all this. The guy's a con man and the whole system's set up and in place for him. And all of a sudden now he realizes he's way behind the eight ball. He's spending money like a crazy man. And it's all politics now. Everyone said, Trump is not a politician. That's why he's good. Well, now he's playing politics. He's trying to buy the next election with deficit. And be aware, folks, our deficit is a mess. Our national debt is a mess. It may be in your mind, hey, that's the way it is, and we're going to always prevail. It's growing so exponentially, it's a straight line going through the moon. That we're at that point, folks. What goes up must come down. That's just the way it is. So there's no question this cannot last forever. And the numbers that we're at now are astounding. $848,000 as a while ago for every man, woman, and child in America. I haven't checked lately. I'm sure it's a lot more than that. So I just think that they've got him going the wrong direction fast. I think this thing is running us out of control. They're trying to, you think about it, it's the spirit of destruction. You know, you look, people copy their leaders, their bosses, their parents. They mimic them. Okay? So if you go to a restaurant and you just see the waitresses have a horrible attitude, you know the manager does. I've shown that to my wife a time or two. Where, you know, one time there was these gals at a restaurant we used to love to go to, and they were edgy and mean. And I said, I'll bet you their manager's horrible to them. Well, sure enough, the manager pops out of the kitchen one day and just starts hollering at this poor girl. And she just looks like a mouse, you know, the way she's being abused. And it's in front of the customers. And I said, see, that's what's going on. So this is the same thing that we see on a national scale. Even financially, Uncle Sam, your Uncle Sam blows money and borrows it. So we do too. The Federal Reserve started this whole program. Debt's cool. Everything you buy is based on debt. All the money you spend from the Fed is based on debt. Every car you buy is as expensive as it is because it's based on debt. Inflation has grown to the point where it's based on the payments. Houses. A house's value is based on payments. That's why from the 1913 Federal Reserve Act till now, we've gone from average home sale prices in America from about $700 to $1,000 in 1913 to almost $300,000 now. It's all based on debt. So we've copied our Uncle Sam. They set the precedent, and then our parents do it, and then we do it, okay? So the same thing's happening right now with this destruction mentality. We get these leaders elected by these angry mobs or whatever in these areas like the Bronx and all this, and you get AOC and Omar Ilhab. I'll never pronounce her name right. Don't hold it against me. And then, you know, you got, anyway, I won't go through them all, but they're just angry and they're crying out. Maxine Waters says, if you see a Trump supporter anywhere, you just take them down. She's like, humiliate them, shame them, beat them down in public, go to their houses. This is a terrible attitude. This is coming all the way down the ladder now. Now we got Antifa, BLM, and all these riots and all this junk going, and anti-cops, defund the police. Folks, you want to talk about the stupidest thing you could ever do? Defund the police. That is the dumbest thing. What do they really want? Anarchy. Folks, they want absolute anarchy. And we've been brainwashed that this is a democracy. It is not a democracy. Ben Franklin said a lot of important things about that. You know, the lady said, what kind of government did you give us, sir? And he said, a republic if you can keep it, ma'am. You know, and he's the one that coined the phrase that the problem with the democracy is the 51 can vote to take from the 49. And he said that a lot more eloquently than I just did. And he also said the one I claim a lot is, he who's willing to sacrifice liberty for security deserves neither liberty nor security. So they tell us that we're a democracy so that we think popular belief, well, we don't think, it's what drives policy. There's nothing logical about it. Then you get propaganda. You get the United People's Republic of China or, you know, the USSR, the same thing. They think they're a democracy, the People's Republic. They're voting. And then you have propaganda. Well, we've got propaganda like never before. It's absolutely driving us away. So let's go down here some more. So it basically, this article, I'll keep it smooth. It goes through the exaggerated pandemic estimates at the beginning that had everybody running scared, shutting everything down, and it was so terrible. Nobody ever said, well, let's wait and see, none of our leaders. And then we had to shut things down for 2 weeks just to flatten the curve, and we packed our hospitals. We built hospitals. Trump spent tens of billions of dollars to bring in like a battalion of military experts to build this huge hospital ship, which he sent out west, never got used. We have new hospital wings that were put up under federal guidelines, federal funding, put up in record time. They sit empty. Oh, everybody wanted all these intubators or respiratory machines. Andrew Cuomo was getting all of the headlines, the governor of New York, all over CNN, so everyone had to cover him, just bashing on Trump, scaring the tar out of everybody. You know, everyone's leaving New York now at 1,000 people a day. They're not coming back. It's unsafe. De Blasio just defunded the police by $1 billion. You know, and AOC's like, that's just not enough. You just moved the money around. Some of that money went over to the schools and this and that, and that's not fair. We want it all gone. It's like, what are you even thinking? Folks, you hear, you know, it's just like when I used to be in banking and I was learning how to collect debt, and I had to collect debt. You know, you hear all these sob stories. You hear everybody's sob story. But then when you get down to the nitty-gritty, you pull their credit and their job history and their whatever and what they've borrowed and how they borrowed it, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, you've been bankrupt 3 times in your life, and, you know, you just go down and you're like, the sob story doesn't fit. People would have bankruptcies. They'd always say, it was a medical bankruptcy. You know, and then I'd pull the credit and I'd be like, well, that's funny because, you know, right before the bankruptcy, you racked up, you know, you maxed out your Sears card, your Capital One, your this, your that. You know, I see that you went on a cruise and financed that, and you got a brand new Cadillac Escalade, and you and your husband are only making X a year. And I'm like, where? And then there's, you know, no medical bills on there. And, you know, it's just the whole thing. So that's what's happening to a lot of these Congress people. Either they've had bad experiences with police, or they're hearing stories of people that are one-sided. My dad was a bail bondsman. I mean, I saw what was going on. As my dad said, he could never believe, this is sarcasm, he could never believe how many innocent people there were in jail. They're just there because. Until you read the police report and the witnesses. Now, do they ever mess up cases? Yes, I'm not going down that road, but I'm like, most of the time they're not there by accident. I have spoken to police officers that have this belief that they're 100% right all the time. So if somebody's been arrested, in their mind, they don't care what the reason is. It's tell it to the judge is the new thing. They've been doing for quite a while. They don't realize, I think in some cases, they don't necessarily realize that the damage that they can do to someone's life with a couple pieces of paper and a few charges that may be a little bit crazy, or excessive and so on. But these people are hearing all these anecdotal stories, and then you become sympathetic. You're like, oh, that's horrible that happened to you. Trust me, folks, I've dealt with people and money forever and ever. That's an exaggeration, but since college. And of course, my background was very logical and analytical, and I had all kinds of stuff like that. So it's like, just trust me that, like Reagan used to say, trust but verify. Trust me but verify my facts. But verify, trust but verify that there's two sides to every story. There's even in Proverbs it even says that. It says the one guy's story sounds really good until you hear the other guy's. And just be aware of that. That is what's forming policy in this so-called democracy. So they go through the exaggerated pandemic estimates. They say early speculation, 40 to 70% of the global population would be infected as it went viral. And then they talk about the estimated reproduction numbers and, the variation on that. And then they talk about how they've already dropped. This is by early April. They've already dropped, drop. It's proven not to be true. Exaggerated case fatality rate, okay? Same as when I talk about infected fatality rate. Then they talk about how that was just blown out. They say the most widely quoted case fatality rate had been, as of early April, 3.4%. And this was reported by the World Health Organization. And then they supposedly dividing the number of deaths by documented cases in March. Well, the bottom line is they weren't testing anything. Everything was being reported as COVID. Every hospital, rest home, morgue, city, state was getting money. Huge money from the feds. We don't even know that was in that CARES Act to pay out tremendous amounts of money. $3 trillion, folks, do you even know what that is? I mean, I don't, but it is so astoundingly ridiculous. You figure 3 trillion is a 3 with 12 zeros. Our population is 300 million. It's a 3 with 8 zeros. That means there's a 1 and 4 zeros left over when you divide. That's $10,000. $10,000 for every man, woman, and child in America in debt for Trump's first CARES bailout. Now, remember, that includes children and elderly and everything. $10,000 a whack. They say 1 out of 5.5 people actually pay tax. And I think it's lower than that. But pay tax. So that's $55,000 per taxpayer just for that bailout. Where's all that money go? Not to you and me. $600 to you, $1,200 to you. I mean, come on. This stuff's just crazy. This is what they do. This is where Nancy jumped in, and they want to shove money all over the place and get votes and line the pockets of their union buddies. And, this stuff has just been used to take us down. I'm disappointed in Trump in this situation. I'm not sure that he knows how to strategize. I think he knows how to punch, and he knows how to shoot straight forward. It's kind of like I said, you use boxing or whatever as an example. He's a straight guy. He comes straight at you. When you got to move and duck and dive and dodge and all that, maybe not his top skills. And so he's using the same technique all the time when you see someone use the same technique all the time. And believe me, you know, the left will spend any amount of money and time trying to figure out how to deceptively destroy Trump. Maybe they came up with that through studies and focus groups or experts or whatever. I don't know. So anyway, the fatality rate, it said that now we've got, as of then, it said, okay, so they estimated 3.4% based on early March, which ignored, it said, the undetected infections and the strong age dependence, which meant only old people died. And the most complete data from Diamond Princess passengers with CFR was 1%. And that was in elderly people. And then they say the CFR has to be, this is based on numbers in March and in the beginning of April, had to be below 1%. Let me go on here. Much lower than 1% in the general population. It said possibly higher than the seasonal flu. However, it said early testing is indicating that the CFR was below 0.1%. Well, now we know CFR is below 1%, 0.1%. It's weaker than the flu. This is the flu, folks. Everything you're doing, your mask, you know, work issues and all these crazy things, it's because the flu. We've been had through propaganda. And then they go and they compare other countries, their CFR rates, 0.2%, 0.09, etc. Okay, then the fourth category they hit in this journal study was exaggerated exponential community spread. That's obvious. That just means that the experts said that it would, you know, it was going to spread way faster. And they're basing a lot of this on Chinese propaganda. China did this to take us down. You know, Bill Gates was over there. He started, funded, and built the Wuhan lab because he had the patent on the coronavirus and got shut down in 2017 at the University of North Carolina researching it because he was genetically modifying it. He's in tight with the Chinese. He got, you know, he's Microsoft. He rules the world in data, even against China. He got all these great big awards, okay? So all of a sudden, China pumps out this crazy propaganda. And you remember all the bodies in the streets with black bags over them and boarding people in the house because this disease was so bad. It was like a zombie apocalypse. They pumped fear at us. This is an orchestrated mess, folks. If Obama can get $150 billion to Iran without congressional approval and $400 million cash to Iran to pay the ransom, which he should have not done, for four people being held without congressional approval, how much money can congressional representatives get without any public knowledge? So they could easily organize a conspiracy and fund it without any problem. Just call people various subcontractors, put them under subcategories, etc. And so the community spread was nowhere near what was estimated. Extreme measures they studied. Now I'm clipping on time. Under alarming circumstances, extreme measures of unknown effectiveness have been adopted. And then it says, you know, the cancellation of social events, air travel, curtailment and restrictions, entry control measures, border closures are applied by various countries. Italy adopted country-level lockdown on March 8th, and other countries have followed suit. Then it goes, there, all evidence is lacking for these aggressive measures. And then it goes on to, you know, and it talks about systematic review on measures to prevent the spread of respiratory viruses found no evidence for entry port screening and social distancing in reducing epidemic spreading. Just plain hygienic measures have the strongest evidence. And these are all referenced, bibliography. Frequent hand washing and staying at home and avoiding unnecessary contacts when sick are very useful. Okay, that's what they always tell you when you're sick anyway, right? Their routine endorsement may save many lives, but there's no scientific evidence that it will, it says. Most lives saved may actually be due to the reduced transmission of influenza than coronavirus. I'll repeat. They said the lives saved may actually be due to the reduced transmission of influenza than coronavirus because the flu is more dangerous than coronavirus. And they said that all these actions we took have really stopped flu this year, you know, whatever. So most evidence on protective measures comes from non-randomized studies prone to extreme bias, such as those put out by mask manufacturers. You think? You think a non-randomized study from a mask manufacturer might be biased? Yeah, I'm going to go with yeah. A systematic review of personal protective measures in reducing pandemic influenza risk found only two randomized trials. One determined that the only measure that reduced the spread of influenza was the use of hand sanitizer. And another study on face masks showed no change in transmission. So hand hygiene in household members of people infected with influenza was the only outcome. So then they say harms from non-evidence-based measures, things like intubation. I've discussed this, ramming stuff down these poor old people's throats to intubate them. Impulsive actions that have indeed caused major harm, they say. And then they also say another clear example is the panic shopping with depleted supplies of face masks, escalation of prices, and a shortage for medical personnel. Masks, gloves, and gowns are clearly needed for medical personnel, and their lack could potentially pose healthcare workers' lives at risk. Conversely, they're meaningless for the uninfected general population. So we're not in the medical business. We don't need it. You work in a hospital, you need it, okay? It doesn't help us. And then there's a lot more information, and I am running out of time. Misallocation of resources, they discuss. Lockdowns, they discuss. Economic and social disruption, they discuss how phony it is and the cost it was to our economy. Claims for once-in-a-century pandemic. Then they go and they compare all prior pandemics and just say this is absolute malarkey. It's a deception. It's not true. And then they talk about the comparisons with the flu of 1918 that killed 20 to 40 million people. Has absolutely no relevance at all. And then they do the, you know, what do we learn from COVID-19? And it says that the extreme problems with inaccurate and exaggerated information, and they go on and discuss in detail. And I'm unfortunately out of time. And then, I don't know, there's a lot more information to this thing. But the bottom line is, folks, you can believe whatever you want, and you will. I'm 110% convinced we're being had. This is a scam. It's a con. It's ridiculous. It won't stop. It's separating, you know, communists from conservatives, and they're pushing people so far to the left now, it's unbelievable, unbearable. And you know, I know the elderly, I speak to them regularly, and they're like, well, I just want to be safe. Well, last thing I've repeated, your mask does no good. If there was a coronavirus that was dangerous or influenza, it goes right through when you breathe. Even if someone else is wearing one, they say, oh, now you wear them to help them, not you, okay? How's that for Mr. Annoying? So anyway, that's it for the day. I'm out of time. I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you get my point. Thanks for the business. If we can help you out, give us a call. Take care. God bless. Love you. Bye.